morning. You are listening to KBOO
Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. We want to apologize. We've had some problems, and hopefully we're on the air at this time. This may be due to weather conditions, or as some of our conspiracy theorists might think, it's because of our advocacy for free speech. In any case, we welcome you and thank you for joining us this morning. Today is Monday, December 19th. The year is 2005. It is approximately 7:45 a.m. I am Cecil. Celeste will join us via phone. I've made it to the studio. Celeste is having car problems, but I think she'll join us shortly. As you may or may not be aware, we had some bad weather yesterday and today. If you listened to the news earlier, you heard how the weather condition may improve. So for those of you who are off from work, congratulations. For those of you who have called in to say that you will not be in, congratulations. It's just stay in, get a nice cup of tea, and be warm. And again, this is More Talk Radio. We certainly invite your conversations, and we will have an open forum this day. Part of that is a few rules, and let's see if we can get Pat Celeste in to see if we can get her in, and maybe she can explain the rules of open forum. Celeste, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
Oh, okay. That was kind of a tentative sure.
I think we're having some problems with your phone, but we'll keep you on. Hopefully it will improve. Again, this is an open forum. Today is Monday. This is an opportunity for you to share your thoughts and opinions. We'll give you approximately 2.5 to 3 minutes to speak on any topic that is...
any topic of your choosing, with the exception of one.
Yes, yes. This is a special day. And Celeste, why don't you tell us what we will not talk about today?
Well, as some of you who've been listening to More Talk Radio may have remembered, some time ago we had a moratorium on guns, gun control, any issues surrounding guns. And it wasn't that we wished to stifle free speech. We had just pretty much said all that could be said. There was nothing new coming out about the issue. And we'd heard just about every opinion expressed, and some of those a few times. So the thought was it was time to lay it to rest. Well, we're going to do the same thing with 9/11 and all related issues. And the idea is, yes, there's a lot of information out there. Yes, there's a lot of concern about it. Yes, sometimes we hear what might actually be new information. However, at this point, at this time, there's a lot of, well, more pressing things to discuss. It's not that that's not important, and the underlying concerns of people being afraid of a government lying to them, of a government-sanctioned cover-up, of us having a lot less control over our lives, over our safety, over the information about our lives and safety, over the lives and our information about our government, is frightening. But, alas, it is not pressing anymore.
Well, and I suppose there ought to be one caveat about that, since we last talked about this, Celeste. The recent revelations of the president's spying on American citizens and his continuing justification of 9/11 might lead to some conversations around the issues around government surveillance and 9/11. But we don't want to talk too much or at all about the towers and what went down that particular day.
Or who moved what rubble.
Unless it has some bearing on more general topics. Having said that, you know, this is free speech, and so we'll see how it goes. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. We invite your calls for any topics. This is Open Forum. This is More Talk Radio. And we have a caller online, so we'll go to that caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
And...
maybe not.
Maybe not. Some of you might have heard the president's speech last evening and his remarks this weekend on, his rather arrogant position in terms of spying on American citizens. Certainly it's a time of real concern, and I mentioned earlier I was going to talk about some action that took place around the United States this past week around the House budget. But let me preface that by just noting that in light of the president's admission of spying and rather proudly doing so, you know, yes, I spied and, you know, so be it. It's interesting to see how the mainstream media have certainly is waking up and having some concerns around that. Just searching through some editorials this weekend, I saw among those the Los Angeles Times and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette both stated editorials which are concerns about the move towards a police state. The L.A. Times editorial, Sunday editorial, was entitled Bigger Brother, and in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, it was also typed Big Brother Bush, the president took a step toward a police state. Let's go to our caller, and maybe it's the president. Good morning.
No, it's not the president.
Oh, the president is listening.
Oh, more than likely he is. Actually, I got knocked off the air, but I had an editorial, you know, the one I had told you about, that I had wanted to read to everyone. And that was kind of the punctuation, if you will, for the moratorium on 9/11. And it's article entitled Threshold Fears and Unanswered Questions About 9/11 by Peter Phillips. And this was our swan song and the beginning of our moratorium here. For many Americans, there's a deep psychological desire for the 9/11 tragedy to be over. The shock of the day is well remembered, and terrorist alerts from Homeland Security serve to maintain lasting tensions and fears. The 9/11 Commission report gave many a sense of partial healing and completion, especially given the corporate media's high praise of the report. There is a natural resistance to naysayers who continue to question the U.S. government version of what happened on September 11, 2001. This resistance is rooted in our tendency toward the inability to conceive of people we know as evil. Instead, evil ones must be others, very unlike ourselves. We all remember as young children scary locations that created deep fears. We might imagine monsters in the closet, dangers in a nighttime backyard, the creepy people in some abandoned house down the street. As we get older, we build up the courage to open the closet or walk out into the backyard or to smell the night air. As adults, there are still dark closets in our socio-cultural consciousness that make it impossible to even consider the possibility of truthfulness, of certain ideas. These fearful ideas might be described as threshold concepts, and that they might be on the borders of discoverability. Yet we deny even the potentiality of implied veracity. Something is so evil it is completely unimaginable. A threshold concept facing Americans is the possibility that the 9/11 Commission report was on many levels a cover-up for the failure of the U.S. government to prevent the tragedy. Deeper past the threshold is the ideas that the report failed to address the sources of external assistance to the terrorists. Investigations in this area might have led to a conclusion that elements of various governments, including our own, not only knew about the attacks in advance, but also may have helped facilitate their implementation. The idea that someone in the government, capital G, of the United States contributed support to such horrific attacks is inconceivable to many. It is a threshold concept that is so frightening that it brings up a state of mind akin to unbelievability. Philosophy / religion professor David Ray Griffin has recently published a book, his findings on the omissions and distortions of the 9/11 report. Griffin's book brings into question the completeness and authenticity of the 9/11 Commission's work. Griffin questions why extensive advance warnings from several countries were not acted upon by this administration, how a major institutional investor knew to buy put options on American and United Airlines before the attack, why photos of the Pentagon immediately after the attack show damage inconsistent with the crash of a 757 airliner. Additionally, Griffin notes questions remain on why the 9/11 Commission failed to address the reports that $100,000 was wired to Muhammad Atta from Saleed Sheikh, an agent for the Pakistan Inter-Service Intelligence, ISI, under the direction of the head of ISI, General Mahmoud Ahmed. General Ahmed resigned his position less than 1 month later. The Times of India reported that Indian intelligence had given U.S. officials evidence of the money transfer ordered by Ahmed and that he was dismissed after the U.S. authorities sought his removal. Also, the 9/11 Commission failed to address the reasons for the collapse of the World Trade Center building 7, more than 6 hours after the attack. WTC 7 was a 47-story steel frame building that had only one small fire on a few floors. WTC buildings 5 and 6 had much larger fires and did not collapse. This led to a number of critics to speculate that WTC 7 was a planned demolition. Overall concerns with the official version of 9/11 have been published and discussed by scholars and writers around the world, including Jim Morris, Nafees Ahmed, Michael Rupert, Cynthia McKinney, Barry Swicker, Webster Tarpley, Michael Chasudovsky, and many others. The response has been to label these discussions as conspiracy theories unworthy of media coverage or further review. Pursuit of critical analysis of these questions is undermined by the psychological barrier about 9/11 issues as a threshold concept, too awful even to consider. We may be on the borders of discovery regarding the possibility of great evil within our own government, and perhaps others outside as well. We must step past the threshold to have the courage to ask the questions, demand answers, and support research in all aspects of this American tragedy. Perhaps the closet isn't as dark and as fearful as we envision. If we don't courageously look and stretch into the deepest regions of our fears, how can we assure our children and ourselves a safe and honest future? And this is Peter Phillips. He's a professor of sociology at Sonoma State University and director of Project Censored, the 9/11 Commission Report. And there you have it.
Now, I'm a bit confused, Celeste.
Yes.
I thought we would put a hold on 9/11 discussion.
We did. That was my period, if you will, the punctuation for it.
Oh, you really think that's going to be a period?
Well, here's this. This is what I'm trying to do is let people know we have not abandoned the idea that a search for truth is necessary by any means. We're not going to ignore the complicity of members of our own government and the corporate partners of our government. But there comes a point where, much like with the conversation with guns, there will be some things that will come out of this, no doubt, that we may at some point revisit. And like you said, there are still connections to broader issues of our so-called idea of privacy or concept of privacy, of our desire and right to have a government that truly does look out for the benefit and the welfare of the people and not necessarily just spy on us for its own small needs. And there's so many more other points that I could bring up with,
okay,
you know. But the thing is right here, right now, we have, as with the information that we have right now, discussed it as much as we can. Now, if something breaks, oh, we will talk. We will open it back up. But for right now, there are a lot of other issues that I think that we could discuss and open ourselves up to a broader audience. And it's not as though we've never discussed it. It's just now we're going to take a short rest.
Okay.
An indefinite rest.
Okay. Well, as we have a caller online, and let me remind our listeners that you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. And our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we'll open up the phone lines. And thank you for waiting. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. And you?
I'm doing pretty well. It's nice that everything's frozen for a minute. I just had a quick comment, and it's actually taking issue with the moratorium. I think it's absurd. I don't understand why we would need some kind of nurses to help us to think about whatever it is that we might think. I still don't understand the. Do you get too many calls about 9/11?
As a part of, oftentimes we do, and I think the reasoning behind, you know, so-called moratorium was that so that other people could call and talk about other issues.
I want to understand if there's just a dearth of callers about 9/11, but it really is a fearsome thing to have anything off the table until further notice.
Well, no, it came across as too harsh. Of course,
not too harsh. Not too harsh. It's just I really don't get the point.
Okay, Celeste.
Well, just for one thing, the conversations haven't, with the exception of the gentleman who called in some time ago and gave us a website, the conversations haven't been that productive. I'm not hearing anything new, with the exception that we've been spied on, but to be perfectly honest, who didn't think we were? Wait a minute, you asked me a question. Let me finish, please. And then thirdly, I personally have really talked about it as much as I want to talk about.
Well,
I know that might sound kind of harsh. Pardon?
But it's not harsh. It's not harsh, but I think as the conductor of the forum, you have a responsibility to listen to anything comes your way and take advantage of the words that fly in your ears. And if somebody has something to say about 9/11 that doesn't have something to do with a conspiracy theory but has something to do with a deep part of their psyche that needs to be said on air, you should be prepared for that.
Well, I think that what you're saying has some veracity, and I would have to be a hypocrite if I didn't address that as I just brought it up in an article. However, having been a healthcare worker, yeah, okay, you have a valid point.
If
that is the nature and the substance of the call, then so be it. Then we talk. If it's something else, though, I mean, I don't want to discuss who picked up the rubble anymore. I don't want to discuss
the
demo. We get calls about, we had a gentleman on last week. We talked about the trade deficit, China's entrance into the trade arena and some of the issues that they face nationally. We didn't even get a chance to do much more than scratch the surface, really. And we had some gentleman who called up, and he wanted to discuss whether or not China bought the rubble that had been moved from the Trade Center buildings, or whether they had removed it. And it's like, it was not a point of interest.
Maybe not, but, you know, you gotta be open to everything. That's unfortunate that you're getting boring conversation. But
well,
still, you have to stay open to the one caller that might be ready to say something that is, I guess, fresh to you. But, I mean, that's the whole idea of free speech, and it's really fearsome to hear anything being put on moratorium, especially something that was a national tragedy that has really defined a number of generations, I'd say.
Okay.
It's really intense.
And as this conversation is quite... Is proof that nothing can be forbidden from speech. So
I don't think so.
I don't ever want to make it seem as though it's forbidden, because
moratorium is a strong word, ma'am.
I appreciate your view, and I mean I'm going to give it some consideration and figure out I might, for example, if it's an open forum, that's one issue, because we do try to keep it as open as possible.
Okay.
But maybe I won't entertain those kind of questions when it has nothing to do with our topic.
Yeah, well, I hope you don't get too many conspiracy or boring theory ideas coming on the air, but
oh, no, we get plenty. We get plenty of conspiracy theories. This
is
central.
I've heard a lot of them. I get them, too.
Okay.
That's about enough. I just am glad that you're on the air still.
Hey,
moment. I'll listen to anything you have to say. Just beware.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks for your call.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks for your call.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Our phone numbers here are 503-231-8187. Today is Monday, December 19th, 2005. It is approximately 8:10 a.m., and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Hello.
And we'll try to get that caller again. Caller, you are on the air.
Hear me. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Now we can.
Okay, totally sorry about that. I have to say, I have some agreeance with the previous caller, I'd like to possibly approach this in a somewhat different manner,
okay.
as opposed to laying down a moratorium, as you use the word, perhaps just suggest two or three good topics to discuss. And that way there's a natural guiding away from the topic that you do not wish to discuss.
Well, that's not a bad idea. Except for open forum, we allow folks to talk about whatever they want to talk about. And sometimes we get bogged down in one issue instead of being able to broaden it. We haven't really sat down and done a topic-only show with just the two of us in a while, because we've been bringing on lots of guests who have just had really amazing things to talk about and very relevant things. But with open forum, I hesitate to just have two or three topics and let people talk about that only, because it's pretty much the same thing. It's like, okay, this is all you can talk about.
Right.
Whereas with open forum, you can talk about anything but this one thing.
Right, but see, and that seems to me the problem. And then you can't exactly call it an open topic, an open forum. I mean, it's rather like the Christian church is saying, we all love you if you're not gay.
Excellent point, caller.
Just doesn't work.
Okay. Hey.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, and this is an exciting thing in terms of having this type of call-in program, because
yes,
we get feedback and we are open to change, unlike the President of the United States. Oh, my gosh. I just love it now that the President is not love it that the President is spying on us, but I think one way in which we can challenge that is to call it for what it is.
You call it exactly what it is. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, who didn't think that this was an issue? You know, on a macro level, yes, we expect it's been done. I mean, goodness, how many times have we pulled up surveillance on various groups and talked about it? Just one I'll pull out. At the Black Panther Party, for example.
Certainly.
You know, and Martin Luther King, for example.
And this isn't new. Let's see what our caller has to say. Good morning,
Alrighty.
Caller.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think being flexible is good, but I want to say that when there are certain topics that you, the hosts of this program, have chosen, then you should be allowed to explore that topic, you know, as much as you can in the time that you have allotted. So people should be aware of that also. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was quick to the point. And, you know, that's part of my concern about having discussions. I don't want to give anyone the opinion that I don't want to hear it if it's a substantive conversation. It's just that sometimes we end up digressing so far away from a specific topic. You know, if we're going to be the conspiracy theorist, you know, talk show host, then, you know, if that's what it is, that's what it is. I don't know. What do you think, Cecil?
Well, I think one part of the challenge in terms of a open forum or in terms of open discussion is the ability to allow people to share what's on their mind. But also, in terms of a discussion, it's a give and take. Oftentimes, I hear people state a point and say it over and over and over again, and not open to dialogue. And I think that's the challenge that I want to offer to people, regardless of the topic that you are interested in, to be open to listen to others and hear feedback. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And speaking of dialogue, let me just read a part of the editorial from the from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that was in Sundays. Big Brother Bush, the president, took a step towards a police state. The Bush administration is continuing its assault on Americans' privacy and freedom in the name of the war on terrorism. First in 2002, according to an extensive report in the New York Times on Friday, it secretly authorized the National Security Agency to intercept and keep records of American international phone and email messages without benefit of a previously required court order. Second, it has permitted the Department of Defense to get away with not destroying, after 3 months, as required, records of American Iraq war protesters in the Pentagon's Threat and Local Observation Notice, or TALON, database. Both practices mean that a government agency is maintaining information on Americans, reminiscent of the Johnson and Nixon's administration's approach to Vietnam War protesters.
Mm-hmm.
Think on that as we go to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Good morning. I just I had a question to ask, but first, just a comment real quick. I've listened to Kibu for a really long time, and I've been concerned that the programs have gone pretty heavily towards the interview of a guest or guest panels, and they'll take like maybe in an hour and a half, three callers. A lot of the shows do that now. And the open forum, I'm really 100% for. I like to hear a variety of callers. I think more people would call in if there were more open forums. And I appreciate that you're doing that this morning. And my question is,
And I have a question for you, so don't hang up.
Oh, okay. The question is, what is the big push last night, the address to the nation? And then this morning, another press conference by George. I'm curious, is it because his ratings are so low he's doing a big PR thing right now? What do you think is going on?
Well, you know, I think you brought up a valid point. I spent the past few days out of town, and I was reading...
There's an echo, Celeste.
Okay. Is that better?
Do you want me to hang up?
No, I think...
How is that? That should have diminished my
that
echo.
That sounds good.
Okay. Yes, I was reading that his approval rating was around 37%, which is the lowest it's been nationwide, I think, since around Nixon times. The other thing was it did pop up a little bit with the decrease in gasoline prices. So, you know, he's jockeying and doing what he can to raise his approval rating. I think it's been a combination, though, of trying to offset some of the reports that are coming out with regard to Karl Rove's involvement in the PLAM outing and the 9/11 Commission's findings. And most recently, this report that he is spying on or his administration and the people in his administration, rather, and those in our various intelligence gathering groups are spying on American citizens and not destroying that information. And I also suspect that there's going to be some other big piece of information that's going to come out. So for that reason, I think, like you, that he's trying to bolster his ratings before another big slam comes his way.
What do you think, Carla?
Yeah, first off, it's so difficult for me to either look at him or listen to him. It's just appalling what the administration, what the corporations, what this whole administration's done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm especially on a personal basis being confronted by a lot of mentally ill people on the street who have no access to medications.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm actually seeing what this whole administration stuff is all about. It's about just cutting off services, pinching pennies to make profits for corporations, and making some people so extremely wealthy. But I, on a personal level, see the need. So many people have needs right now. He just said it was about 45 minutes ago in his press conference, he said, you know, we're really, the economy's the best it's been in 30 years. He said, we have the greatest Chief Justice now, and we'll have him for decades.
Oh, wow.
And he's going on and on. And I just visualize this idiot, like in a loincloth with a spear, you know, standing on a desert island, absolutely unconscious of anything he's saying or doing. And that's pretty much how I feel about it. I'm just appalled.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
And more open forums.
Okay, I had a question about open forums. Do you prefer two or three topics or just let callers talk about what they want?
I prefer to hear anyone say anything they need to say.
Okay.
And what I think it would reduce would be people like me. Like if you have three or four people that call in a lot, that won't be happening if you have open forums.
Okay.
You'll have like a tremendous variety of ideas and people. And that way people will feel better about calling in because the calls will be, you'll be taking the calls. People call in and it's just a busy tone.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you. Bye.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for your call.
And call again. Our number.
You know, that was interesting what the caller had to say about open forum. I think we've been doing this about a year now or so, and we try to do it at least once a month. And it's good to hear that people do appreciate it. Sometimes I get concerned because we get stuck in a rut and we don't hear that variety and exchange of ideas. And that was one of my concerns and motivations for having no one likes the word, but moratorium. But, you know, I'm flexible. You know, I can be swayed.
You're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. We want to invite you to call if you have a concern or a topic. Give us a call at 503-231-8187. Part of the rules is to probably limit your speech or your conversation to about 3 minutes. And, you know, none of those nasty words. But other than that, I think anything's on the table, just about. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning.
Yes, hello. There's so much control and domination in our lives and forever in this country and in this world, and I don't want anyone to tell me, especially in places like the legal system and so on and so forth, where you can't talk freely or honestly if you're involved in a court situation. But anyway, getting back to control and domination, it's so pervasive and forever everywhere in this country, and I don't like anyone telling me how to talk, that I have to have an exchange or a conversation or talk about certain things or talk a certain way. I want to put that out. I want people to stop controlling and dominating every aspect of our life. And I don't mind listening to experts as long as they possibly contribute something worthwhile to my life. Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, part of the problem, as I heard you call her, in terms of your hesitancy and not wanting to be dominated, one of the things I think that we are trying to do is solicit and facilitate conversation. Oftentimes people go on and speak what was really important for them. But I think part of the challenge and part of the growing experience, for me at least, is to engage in conversation, so a give and take. I agree with you that so-called experts often dominate a conversation. But at the same time, in a format just such as this, I think it helps to be open to be willing to exchange conversation and to listen, which is, I think, a lost art in our society. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is an open forum with Cecil and Celeste. And I don't know, Celeste, if you can look out your window and see if the weather is improving.
Actually, we still have ice out here. The trees are all coated with ice. And the branches are kind of bowed. The pavement is icy. If you can make it out to the main thoroughfares, you'll be okay.
Okay.
But this is out closer to the gorge. I live out in East County, and so, you know, all I can say is be safe. Be
okay.
Careful. Don't be in a hurry.
And I'm going to encourage if anyone, one caller called in and mentioned the president's press conference this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage others who heard him this morning and perhaps give us some analysis of his press conference this morning with his statement to the U.S. last evening, with his interview on the news hours on Friday, with his three major speeches on Iraq in the last couple of weeks. He certainly is on a press publicity machine right now to get his message out. But we do have a caller online, so let's go to that caller. Good morning.
Good morning. To continue along with the topics, it seems that we have a lack of the ability to prioritize things in our lives. It's almost, and in the world, as to what is important, what isn't important, it's almost like we have a schizophrenic society with not just one or two voices, but a billion voices and a billion tasks. And I think it's time maybe for human beings, for adults, to start saying, hey, what's really important? Each adult has to do that. And who knows what the government is doing, but it's doing something that's fairly interesting.
I like the way you put that, fairly interesting. Well, you know, with regard to the voices that are penetrating our heads constantly, I agree. We do need to prioritize. We make some choices that force us into some compromised position. One of the things that our guest last week mentioned was the fact that it's the everyday consumer that drives so much of our trade relationships. And the case I used to describe that was how many Americans are flocking to China or other markets all out of the country to buy knockoff luxury goods. And so they're driving that bootleg market, if you will. So, you know, there's choices we make, whether it's to drive a humongous car that guzzles gas or to live in a lifestyle that that is a little bit more frugal, that enable us to prioritize our life and make some meaningful choices and maybe not hear those voices so much in our head. Then some of us are forced because of our economic situation to have to listen to voices.
Well,
I don't know.
I think we're all forced to listen to whatever propaganda is out there, and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
If you can just turn on the TV and just look at it, this goes back 30 years. I had controlled the TV for my young son, and he was about 4 years old, and we were in a store, and there was just a shocked look on his face when he saw there was a movie going on, and then it flicked to a commercial, and mm-hmm. and it was literally a shock, because what happened to the movie? and his brain was just shocked. And everything is like that now in our quick-paced society, and I think that it's time to just kind of slow down within your mind, and say, hey, what's our priorities?
Indeed,
that's my point for today.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a nice one.
All righty. Well, see, we kick off Monday by finding a way to slow down today, you know, making a meaningful slow down.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. You're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. At 9 o'clock is the OMO Variety Hour, so stay tuned for that program. In the meantime, we'll go to our next caller and see what you have to say. Good morning, caller. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning.
Hi there. Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, The president is having a press conference this morning. It looks like he's just gotten finished with it.
Yes.
And I want to know, like to ask, the man is a blithering idiot, you know? You cannot tell what is going on, what he's got to say. Is he being, you know, disingenuous or disseminating, or is he just lost his freaking mind, you know? He doesn't know what he's doing, who's running the country, what are the plans he's got that he's not telling us about, what's he keeping from us, who is this guy? You should have heard that thing. It was just disgusting, like usual.
Well, he may be a blubbering idiot, but he's also the most powerful man in the world. How do you respond to him?
He's not powerful.
Okay, so where's clueless. The problem?
He's okay. Clueless.
So who controls things?
Yeah, well, how can we know who's controlling things when this man, you know, his cabinet, his administration, you know, cabinet members trot him out there and give him nothing to inform the American people that he's in control. He's not in control. I just can't believe it. I don't know what's going on. I don't think we should have a president who's as dumb as a rock like this guy. It's scary to listen to him. It just leads to more uncertainty with anybody who's, you know, half a brain. It expects more from the president than, I'm the president and you're not, and I'm making the decisions and you shut up.
The Wizard of Oz was on last night.
How appropriate. And that's about the second or third time it's run in the past 6 weeks.
Oh.
But do you really think that he's as stupid as you think he is, or is this, you know, I mean...
All of this is what I have to say on the matter. I listened to a little part of his address while I was waiting on KBOO to come back on the air. And on a visceral level, when I hear his voice,
I do want to shut him up. I do want to change the channel. I have to force myself to listen to him. Now, when you find yourself responding to something like that on such a basic gut level, you ask yourself, what is it? What's the problem? What am I reacting to?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm reacting to what I feel are lies being told to me. I think that's what I hear you reacting to. No, he's not the brightest person. Everything in his speech indicates that. But he, as Cecil said, is the leader of our world, of our country. I shouldn't say of the world, but of our country, whether we like him or not. That's the position he's in. Our job is to keep those powers as limited as possible. That's our job.
Well, I just can't understand how the media, how the cabinet members can let him get away with going before the American people and acting like a fool.
Some people believe what he is saying.
But you know,
some people believe that he is advancing their particular agenda. Other people are letting him go because they're letting him lead because they like their job. If you read some of the reports from the people who work in the administration or in the White House or close at hand, they will tell you that many of them live in fear of saying anything because the man can be irascible and irritable. You know, that's just on a personal level, an interpersonal level. So, you know, he's in power because there's a controlling interest that keeps him there. And that's it in a nutshell.
Oh, that puts it very well. Thank you.
Well, our numbers are, go ahead, caller. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Celeste mentioned that she has a visceral reaction to the president when he speaks. I also know people who hang on to every word he says and almost have a strange devotion to the president and all that he claims, so that we're certainly living in a society where there are many contrast and responses to the president and who he is and what he says. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning.
Hello there. This is Open Forum. I wanted to talk about something locally, but first I would, of course, like to say something about what you all been talking about. And I just saw bits and pieces of the news conference, and one thing I noticed, and I too don't like to listen to him too much because he and other people, Condoleezza is excellent at telling lies, and I don't like to hear the lies cushioned in all these little phrases that are supposed to make us believe that they're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's hard to keep listening to. But when you were speaking of 9/11, at the very end of his speech, he was asked about this spying and the Patriot Act, and he would not discuss the spying because he said that would be revealing to the enemy, quote unquote, what our methods are, how we're doing it, all of that. That then they would change, and he referenced 9/11 and Osama bin Laden. So as long as these people keep using that as a reference point, people who don't believe it are going to talk about 9/11 and what really happened, and it's impossible. It's impossible not to if that's the reference point these people are going to continue to use.
Well, you know,
as justification for what they're doing.
One thing, caller, that you raise a good point, because I heard a couple of president's speeches in recent days, and finally, I think the administration has finally gotten the message that they have to stop making the overt linkage between Saddam Hussein and 9/11. But as he said last evening, he also referenced 9/11 in subtly saying, well, we were wrong, but still, in a very subtle way, he keeps on saying that, 9/11, 9/11.
That's the reason he just
gave. That's a good point.
That's the reason he just gave for why he can't tell us about these secret spying tactics. So, it's still there.
Everything is justified by saying 9/11.
Right. So
it's like waving a red flag in front of us.
So that causes people to want to poke holes in 9/11. And that's where these conspiracies come from and theories, and some of them are real.
Yeah. So you said you wanted to talk about something locally.
Yeah, I just wondered if you all read the front page of the Tribune story Friday. About the code of silence among gangs.
Oh, yes.
The sensational story that it was, put all these young men's names out there, and at the same time said there wasn't enough evidence to convict any of them or charge them with anything, but they felt the need to put it all out there anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
And suggested that the only way the police can solve the crimes is to use informants. But what was very glaring to me was that when they had to and proceeded to describe an incident where a young man was killed and provided a lot of detail. But no one could say who did it. And it may be true that no one knows who did it. And also, one thing that was glaring to me was they're trying to sway the evidence towards these two young men who had had a fight an hour earlier with the man who was killed. However, glaring to me was the fact that whoever shot this young man asked him if he was the one who had just been talking whatever on the telephone. Now, if these two young men that had just had a fight with him wouldn't ask that question, wouldn't need to identify him, they already knew who he was. So when someone puts a story like that out there, I want to know how much harm they're doing to the young people that they're pointing fingers at, and whether or not they're making it worse instead of better when they don't have the facts.
Well, I read some of that article, and I was disturbed by some of the things that you mentioned, just in terms of names and identifying and pictures and all of that. And I also wondered, I was just concerned.
Yeah, very concerned, because it didn't. It just sort of put it out there and scrambled it up and made it worse and left out a whole lot of stuff that makes the story just seem really sensational.
Yeah.
Very sensational. And that concerns me when we use our young people like that to make a story and don't really get to the facts.
Well, I suggest that one thing, and you probably have done this already, is call the Tribune or talk to the writer.
That's my next call.
Okay, great.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
Okay.
All right. You know, the caller raised several interesting points. Just with the last one, though, with regard to information published in an article, one of the things I remember from journalism school was the need to be responsible with how you publish information, because you end up painting a picture or assigning a reputation, if you will, to someone by just the way you put your information together. And it sounds, see, I didn't read the story because I've been out of town, but it sounds like the story had some sketchy details, some sketchy factual information, and even those facts were really subjective, and it was put together in a not cohesive fashion. And, you know, I would challenge anybody who's listening, whenever you read an article that does not appear to address the issues in a coherent and detailed and factual manner, to take the writers and take the newspaper to task and tell them, you know, you find this inappropriate in the least, you know, and reprehensible in the most, just because we also are the watchdogs of the press, you know.
And I found in my limited experience in terms of calling or writing writers or reporters that they tend to be respond back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage people to call and to write individual reporters.
Yes. And a lot of them have email addresses, so if you have access to email, and actually everybody does, at least at the library for at least an hour a day, you know, you can go and email them. But a handwritten letter is a powerful tool. I don't care what anybody says, the pen still is very mighty.
Well, you are listening to KBOO Portland. Let me remind you that at 9, the Omo Variety Hour, which will include Bush Democracy and Election in Iraq, Could They Get Rid of U.S. Occupation and Create Something That Approaches a Democratic Society? A look at the Puritan concepts of Christmas, a review of the new movie Syriana, and an interview about struggles over public power. That is by PGE in Portland. At 10 is the Foods Show. Guests include Robert Reynolds, master chef and author of An Excuse to Be Together, and produce seller Pablo of People's Food Co-op. And at 11 is Democracy Now! And talks, and among those issues will be Bolivia, the President Bush, and the WTO conference. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We have a couple of callers online. I will try to adjust my chair. I'm having problems here as we go to our next caller. Good morning.
Hello?
Hi, it's you.
All right. Say, look, I just want to break something down to people who say that Bush ain't intelligent, that type of thing. First of all, that's not the prerequisite for being the president, being intelligent. The prerequisite for being the president is you got to be ruthless. Now, you got to get that word out there. Bush is ruthless. Another prerequisite for being the president of the United States is you got to be willing to kill somebody. When presidents talk about defending the Constitution, that's a code word to say, if necessary, I will do whatever is necessary, including killing somebody. That is a prerequisite for being the president of the United States, and you folks need to understand that. Another thing that I want to throw your way before I get off the air is I want to talk about the concept of law and order. That is what keeps people in line in society. It's not the police. It's not none of that, because obviously we outnumber the police. But the only thing that keeps people from crossing the line over to anarchy is a simple thought process, a concept of law and order. Once you folks can get over that concept, then you can start taking the necessary steps to getting your freedom, to doing what's necessary. See, you guys ain't willing to do what's necessary for your freedom. Those people are willing to do whatever's necessary, but you guys ain't. We're not together on our end, because we are afraid that we're going to lose our jobs, our homes, few little material possessions. So, and plus, we bogged down with this concept. But once you get over that, then y'all can take the necessary steps to secure your freedom. Talk to you later.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to hear what these necessary steps are, at least one or two of them. You know, I don't know. I can appreciate the need for ruthlessness in terms of being a president. We have manifested as a country that we do tolerate that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if nothing else, we haven't been en masse up in arms about just anything from gas prices to how ruthless we felt our bombing was. Yes, a lot of people did get up and protest. Yes, a lot of people have continued to get up and protest. We've protested the fact that the U.S. didn't want to participate in peace talks. We've protested the fact that the United States didn't want to be involved in the global warming talks, the environmental talks. But not enough of us. It's usually those of us who get labeled as crackpots, liberal, left-wing, you know, commie, all the rest of that, who get up and want to protest these things, when maybe we're being some real patriots, and that's true. But I'm really curious to what some of these steps are, because to a lot of us, we are taking the steps. You know, we do try to stay active by calling in and talking on the radio and getting our information, by going to groups and meeting, by going out and marching and protesting, by trying to create new forms of protest to have a more profound effect, you know. But I don't think people lack for believing that that we have a ruthless government. I don't think that at all.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. You're listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. Today is December 19th. And before we go to our next caller, let me throw in one thing in the pod, and maybe someone might want to address. Celeste, has gas prices gone down recently?
Yes, they have tremendously.
Well, I'm wondering.
At least here.
But let me. Okay, that's even more important to know, because I do not drive a car, although I use TriMet. TriMet prices have gone up, I think, 3 or 4 times in the last year.
Right.
And part of their reason is gas prices are going up. There will be a fare increase in January 1. How come their prices don't go down when gas prices go down? Just
that's
a thought.
Good. This is when we should call up TriMet and get Fred on the phone and say, yo, Fred, gas prices are dropping. And, I mean, I was just back in the Midwest. I hit Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana. And I noticed that the gas prices have come down. I talked to my siblings in different parts of the country, and they said the gas is a little cheaper. It's under $2 here. Come on now. When's the last time we saw that?
Well, you know? I'd be willing to pay more when the prices go down, but as long as the fare goes down, when the gas prices go down.
Well, like I said, we need to put a call in to the general manager of TriMet and ask why we are still paying a high fare. Why don't they? And they can't tell us that they can't lower the fares. You know, I think they get a little drunk on those extra nickels and dimes. They don't want to give them up. But, you know, they can't tell us that they can't be more reactive.
Well, anyway, we have a couple of callers online. Let's try to get those in before we leave the area. So, good morning, caller. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, I was listening to caller before the last one and talking about the article on the members of the gangs and their tight-lippedness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The question that popped into my mind was the author of that article that seemed to have a lot of data on these individuals. Where are they getting that from? Isn't a person innocent until proven guilty? I mean, aren't they basically going, no, these are guilty people here, but the cops can't catch them?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going into the newsprint to pretty much, what, circumvent the police department's job or what?
Well, in cooperation with the police, I mean, as I read the article, the police gave them information about that in terms of name and name, so...
So they just go around the law by handing out the data that's been collected by the police department and then put it into the paper, and then what, the person's automatically guilty because, hey, I read it there in the paper. That sounds a little bit strange.
Mm-hmm.
Having not read the article, I'm a little bit at a disadvantage to say anything. You know, I just wonder what kind of language did they use. Did they speak in terms of probability or alleged or suspected of, or were they a lot more concrete in the descriptors?
I don't have the article in front of me. Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your interpretation?
Actually, I was taking mine from the caller. That
oh, I see.
It, and she was pretty much saying that, you know, faces, names, and possible,
yeah. And I don't want to say too much because I don't have the article in front of me. It's just, you know, my memory is, you know, I can remember what shoe to put on each day. But I got the sense from reading the article that they were naming names and also using police sources and saying these guys are guilty, but we don't have enough evidence, and these are the guilty guys.
Well, that's just it. How can they say they're guilty if the police department can't put a case together against them? So what, they just make accusations through the newsprint? That's really outside the lines, and the police department should have its, you know, attitude adjusted for doing such a thing.
But, you know, what I'll do is go back and read the article and maybe have a different thoughts upon that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I have to read it too. Thank you for your call, though.
All right, bye.
And I think we have another caller online. Let's try to get to that caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Hello.
Is that me?
That's you.
It's
okay.
You.
Yeah, relative to the editorial that Celeste read earlier from Peter Phillips, you mentioned that you would be willing to entertain discussion of 9/11 as long as we had, you know, new information that perhaps wasn't already beaten to death, you know, with previous discussion. And the idea that he presented that day, he was interviewed in studio at KABU, and I listened to the conversation about the threshold concept. I found extremely exciting and very interesting because I have been trying to stress this aspect from my first involvement with issues around 9/11, and that is, what is it about the human psyche that allows something like this to happen right before our eyes, and yet people want to move on, you know, fairly soon? The idea that something so evil could be perpetrated by, you know, people like us. It has to be someone else who looks different and doesn't live the lifestyles that we live. And I think that's incredibly exciting. I think you need to acknowledge the fact that, yes, this is something new that we haven't heard before and is very worthy of discussion.
Well, you know, you bring up a valid point, and yes, I when I read the article, you know, I read it with sincerity. For me, one of the reasons that it's a little easier for me to look at it and digest it and set it aside has to do a lot with my racial and ethnic heritage. And this is going to sound a little strange, but bear with me. Being a black female, well, actually mixed heritage, but it don't matter because I look black and that's what counts. Here's the thing. You already know that you're part of a sociological construct that puts you at a disadvantage and has designed laws and customs and social mores to keep you at a disadvantage. So it's not a leap at all for me to think that I'm in, working in a government, living in a country where the government conspires to keep its citizens at a disadvantage. It's not hard for me to imagine that at all. So for me, people can say, well, how could you think it's a conspiracy? It's like, look, every time you turn around, they're talking about something that happened within the realm of black culture here in this country that has shown that we were put purposely at a disadvantage. How could I not think that the country's doing this? Why should I be surprised that we're being spied upon? Why should I be surprised that we're being lied to? I'm not. So it's easy for me to move on for this because I've lived with this and generationally have heard about this and have watched it happen to relatives of mine who look white but aren't, you know, according to law, and have them tell stories of being basically being oppressed. So I'm not surprised, and maybe that puts me at an awkward position because I'm able to process it and move on, and that might not be fair. Maybe I'm making everybody else suffer for the fact that I can accept this and move forward.
Well, I understand, and I accept your point. The question, of course, is how do we stop it? How do we not continue in this process that's allowed the Gulf of Tonkin and Watergate and all these things to go down, and yet nothing changes? So, sure, I understand your point, but my point is, we need to fight. I mean, we can't just say, okay, this is business as usual and go on to the next scandal. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't want to imply that I've stopped fighting because one of the ways I'm fighting is by talking with you on the air and making sure that we have an open forum.
Very good.
That's just one way. I mean, I agree. We do have to find different ways of fighting. We do have to keep up the fight. Maybe where we might differ is how I define what other elements of the fight are. I may not see it as being part of the fight to keep discussing certain elements of the 9/11 event. I may not find that as productive. And that's where my decision revolves around. But as you have heard, and since we are in fact discussing it, I'm flexible on this. I'm not wholly cast in stone yet. You know, I'm still trying to work out the parameters of my decision not to want to have to talk about it as much.
Well, I hope so. And my last question is, where did you access that editorial? Because I would like to access it myself.
You know, I'm not sure. I think I got it out of the Black Commentator, which would be www.blackcommentator.com. I think that's where I pulled it out.
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
But,
thank
you know, Google it and Google the man's name, and you should be able to pull it up.
Okay, well, thank you so much. You know, another point for perhaps next year is how we have used a certain search engine and has made it a verb, and every time we say it, we promote a corporation. I'm not sure I approve of that. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning.
Hello, my thought is that a president is a Muppet.
Okay,
I think his father and other people are using his lips to move. So how can that be real?
Okay.
Well, you know, I hate to give in to this, but I'm going to say I have watched him sometimes speak and wonder, why is it that the soundtrack doesn't seem to match his lips? But see, that's just me being impudent, you know, and insolent. It's my form of personal resistance. Because I just viscerally don't agree. I feel like he's lying to me every time he opens his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's a Muppet, I don't want to go here, but where are the hands? How is he being controlled?
we've got all kinds of technology in this world now.
Okay.
Yeah, telekinesis is not even necessary anymore.
Right, exactly. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your call.
You know something that was really funny is one caller mentioned Condoleezza Rice and how she didn't like the way Condoleezza talked to us. You know, we feel, some of us, that Bush is not particularly bright, and so we might be enraged that he's leading us, and we don't like hearing him talk to us because he's mouthing lies and not very successfully. That's how some people feel.
Okay.
Other people don't like Condoleezza because she is so smart, and we get the impression that she thinks she's pulling something over on us and is talking down to us, and people, as a rule, don't like to be talked down to either.
Well, you know, the point of fact, the president has 2 degrees from 2 of the most prestigious colleges, universities in this nation, Harvard and Yale. We have time for one quick call. Let's,
can you
let's
say
go
two
to that
words?
Call.
Affirmative action. That's how he has his degrees.
Good morning, caller. Good morning.
Hello, caller.
Yes, this is George Fisher.
Hey, George.
I don't blame the president. I blame his advisors. The president is only good as his advisors are.
True.
Okay. And who appoints his advisors?
The previous president.
Okay.
Hey, thanks
so much for calling. Hey, we are just about... Oh, we have one more caller? Let's see if we can get that caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes. I talked to you before and about prioritizing things. You do not have to listen to your body when President Bush gets on and obviously lies and you don't want to listen to him. Don't listen to him.
Good point.
Okay.
Hey.
Don't
there
listen
is.
To him. Use your body's telling you. And the idea is that you have to prioritize yourself and say that information, the important parts of the information will come out to you within the next couple of days anyway. And don't waste your time. It's propaganda. And there's just tons and tons of propaganda in our society that we have to break on through. We have important things to do, obviously. The society, maybe the world is maybe in dire straits.
Hey, thank you so much.
Okay.
Great points. Hey, thank you all for listening. This is the last time this year, Celeste and I will be with you. So for all of you who we will not see, hope you have a safe and good holiday and a good new year. And we will see you or speak to you in the new year. Is that correct, Celeste?
We'll hear you in January. I think we're back January 6th. Is that the date?
Somewhere around that.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, well, Celeste, you have a good holiday.
And you likewise, and to our listeners as well. Take care, and we'll hear you next year.
Stay tuned. Thank you. Good day.